It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back with Total Information AM with Tom Ackerman. I'm Megan Lynch, and it's time to talk with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
Let's start with a story now about a federal judge who struck down a law that required sex offenders in Missouri to post no candy signs on Halloween. The Missouri Attorney General's office says he plans to fight it. Talk about the issues in this case.
There are a lot of issues here, Megan, and really what it comes down to is this. State law since 2008, as you said, requires that registered sex offenders have to put out a sign that says no candy. It also requires that they leave their outside lights off and that they're not allowed to interact with children. So you see in that law, there's a mixture of both actions and speech that the law requires. And so there's an individual who filed suit, said that he was arrested because he was actually passing out candy and did not have the sign. And he's challenged this idea that he has to put out a sign because the First Amendment includes both the right to speak freely and the right to refrain from speaking at all. The Supreme Court said that back in 1977. And so the local court has agreed with this individual, and the Attorney General's office is going to file an appeal. But the question really comes down to is this: can the government force individuals to speak? And I think the law is very clear on that. The law says that the state cannot do that.
In Brentwood, Brad, there are three small business owners fighting redevelopment plans. The city wants to redevelop an area along Manchester Road. In fact, they've been redeveloping other parts of Brentwood nearby, and they could use eminent domain. You have a fly fishing shop, you have a meal prep business, you have a dance studio. Do they have a case here, Brad?
Well, this points out the dilemma, the moral dilemma, Tom, with any eminent domain action. I've actually been in that fishing shop on numerous occasions. I know right where it is, and I've shopped there. But the question becomes this. I mean, the concept of eminent domain is it's a principle that grants the government power to take private property for public use. And we typically think of highways or energy projects, nuclear power projects, a hydroelectric dam, those types of things that benefit the public. But is it, how much benefit to the public is it when you are taking property from one group of business owners and then selling it to a different group of business owners? And that's always the question when it comes to eminent domain, is that how do we define the community greater good? And that's what these businesses are arguing, that their businesses, their livelihoods are going to be disrupted so that the government can sell that property to other developers. Now, on the flip side of that argument, you have looking at what's going to be planned here. There's going to be apartments built. There's going to be restaurants built. There's going to be other developments that could benefit the entire community. But that is always that moral dilemma every single time we deal with an eminent domain case.
Realistically, Brad, when we're talking about what it would take to challenge this, would small businesses like this have the resources, you know, to pay those legal fees to fight this?
And that's also the problem here, Megan, is that you've got a group of very small businesses. Again, a nail salon, that's like your quintessential small business, a store that sells fly fishing gear. There's two employees at that fly fishing store. So for them to marshal the financial and legal resources to challenge a city that in essence has unlimited legal resources, that becomes also a problem. So that's, we've seen this problem many times in other areas of our community where eminent domain has been used. That will be a problem here. Ultimately, a judge has to make that decision, weighing the greater good. What does that mean in this situation? From what I see, the judge will probably fall on the side of supporting Brentwood, because one can argue that more individuals will benefit from the redevelopment, but it is a moral dilemma, particularly when you apply it to those small group of business owners whose lives will be upended through this.
Okay, Brad, why is dog food on the docket at the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, it's actually a Missouri case that's gone up. Because, listen, if you've been at any pharmacy now, all pharmacies sell dog products, dog pills, dog products. And when they're behind the counter, they have this illusion of being prescribed medicine. Because, you know, you're being the person in a white jacket is going to hand it to you, right? So these companies are charging more for the same products that would otherwise be out on the shelf. So someone's filed a class action lawsuit. Purina is part of that class action lawsuit. But this is going up to the Supreme Court, not on the merits of the case, but on whether this should be in state court or civil court. So as much as I want to make a bunch of dog jokes here about that the Supreme Court is going to the dogs, really the issue is when you're in federal court, which companies love to be in federal court. It's more company friendly than state court. Once a case is in federal court, can it be sent back to state court based upon technical changes in the pleading? So this, although it makes for good laughs, this is really a technical case about how jurisdiction is determined. And that, I can assure you, is not very sexy.
So whose doghouse is it?
Well, whoever loses is going to be in the doghouse, that's for sure.
Brad, thank you so much. Appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.
Our KMOX legal analyst, Brad Young, partner at Harris Dowell, Fisher and Young.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.